There's a place I want to get to today with you that is extremely important to me. It's one of the most important things about the Christian faith and following after Jesus, and I want to do my best to share it with you today. So here we go. There's a kind of a Mother's Day quiz I want to put before you, but you don't have to answer out loud because it's kind of a trick question anyway. You're starting to catch on to me that I do that. I throw out trick questions just to get somewhere. But let me just preface that by saying Mother's Day is a wonderful time, but it can also be a difficult time. And there are some people who have a negative relationship with their parents. Same is true for Father's Day. And there are many who have a wonderful relationship with their parents. And either way, there's still something that is absolutely true, all the time, no matter what. Jesus calls you by name. And it doesn't matter what else goes on, what else has happened, what else may be true. He calls you by name, and nothing, absolutely nothing, changes that. So, here's the Mother's Day quiz, if you will, that I want to use to set up where I want to go. What's the truest thing about you? There are a lot of true things about you, but the truest of all true things about you would be what? You're loved by Jesus. Yes, you are. And that is something that is very, very important. And it points to the thing that is the truest about you. That is true, yes. There are true things. Everyone has a mother. Everyone has abilities. Everyone has a height. These are all true things about you. There is something about every single person which is the absolute truest thing about you. Okay, I'll tell you. Your identity. It's your identity. Now, some of these things that we've mentioned are connected to your identity, but it is your identity that which is the deepest, most profound, most true thing about you, who exactly you are. And there's something about your identity which is different from everything else that is true about you, and it's what makes it the truest thing. Everything that is true about you is something you discover except your identity. You know, say you're born and you go along, and after a couple of days or sooner or later, you figure out, oh, yeah, I have a mother. Yeah. See, that's something you discover. Or I'm short. You discover that in comparison to other people. Or, you know, whatever it is. I'm a tenor. That's something you discover. Your identity is something you receive. It is completely from outside of you and spoken into you by Jesus, which is what we just read in the gospel. My sheep know my voice, and I call them by name. And there comes a time, a season, a realization, something that just goes on in your life in which you know you have been called by name, by Jesus. And that's a recurring theme, you know, throughout the scriptures, where he will call you by your name. In fact, in Revelation, we see where Jesus gives a white stone to people, and written on it is a name only known by the recipient. He will, in other words, he calls you by a name that is so rich and so profound that no one else may recognize it, but it will resonate in the deepest places of your soul and your spirit, because it is the core and foundation of your identity, and you get it by Him speaking it to you. Now, it doesn't matter what's happened with you or your family history or your work history or what you've kind of messed up on your own without anybody helping you. That identity is always true. It's always who you are, and it is always the deepest thing about you. So now if I do this quiz in a year, you'll know what, you'll remember what it is. You just might. You just might. Because it is the truest thing about you. Of all that's true about you, that's the truest. Now, what are the implications of that? See, when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I call them by name, and they follow me," there's a few implications of that we want to look at. And what I'd like to do is look at that for a moment just as a corporate entity, as a fellowship, as a group, as a community, because it applies to a community as well. See, St. Francis was just not born because somebody at the diocesan office says, "Boy, it's going to be just excellent to have some church plants around here, won't it?" And so they get a committee and try to find some money and get a priest, maybe, who knows, and get things rolling. All of that is true. But there is something that is the truest thing about St. Francis. There was a moment, a time, when Jesus called it by name, called this church by name, and it came about. The identity of St. Francis comes directly from the love and the will and the mercy and the plan of Jesus. And he speaks it out and it starts. The wonderful 5-year plan that we've adopted some time ago, before I arrived, but I still think it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful, is that it says the purpose of St. Francis is to welcome and value everyone. You just don't think that kind of stuff up. You get that directly from Jesus. It wells up from the identity that he's placed within the middle of this church. And his desire, even the name St. Francis, even though, you know, it kind of occurred, that occurred to you, didn't it? Yes, that's right. It just occurred to you out in your backyard, right? Oh, yeah. Back in Sally, yeah. Back there, just, "Hey, how about St. Francis?" Well, I mean, there's just not a bunch of stray thoughts in the air, and you kind of stick your head up a little higher and it hits you. That comes from the Spirit of God. And Marian caught it and articulated it. And one of the deepest things about this church was expressed, and the name became St. Francis. Well, what's that mean? It means that we become an instrument of peace, a house of peace. And in a house of peace, everyone is welcomed and valued. When you start getting into St. Francis about a half a centimeter in, then you start feeling you belong. And when you belong, you get into the position where you can become everything that God wants you to be. It's another step in that path. That's who we are. That's our identity, a house of peace in which every person is welcomed and valued, belonging to becoming. And that's why you get your identity in something like that as well. You begin hearing the echoes of your identity with each other. In fact, you will recall that in the Genesis 1, it says Adam was alone Or is this Genesis 2? Some of you can correct me on this. Genesis 1 or 2, right there in the beginning. Adam was alone. And that wasn't good. So what do they do? God and Adam get together. They have a committee meeting. And they say, well, let's start naming some animals and see what happens. And it just wasn't good enough. It wasn't deep enough. It didn't fill the bill. Something else was needed. So what happens? More humans are made. And that process of more humans being made goes on today. In that community of people, a community created by God, that community that reflects the image of God, our identity, the truest thing about us is expressed, echoed, brought forward, magnified. And it doesn't matter what else goes on around that community, even in that community, where the sin occurs, where the things don't go right. It is in that community that you begin hearing again the voice of Jesus calling you by name. That's what happens here. Every time we come to the table on a Sunday morning, that's where we're set up. That's what happens. We begin hearing once again the voice of Jesus calling us by name. Some Sundays it may be very faint. Other Sundays it may be very deep. And there may be ways in which it strikes us, but we don't know what to do with it. You are still being called by name, by Jesus, into what he desires for you, what he's called you to be. Now, I think that is something that we need to cultivate, that, in fact, can describe the Christian life, where you hear the voice of Jesus and then respond to it. And then you hear the voice of Jesus and respond to it. He begins telling you something, and you ask him, okay, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond to that? That is the daily rhythm of the Christian life, doing that sort of thing. And everything that he desires of you starts coming out of that. In other words, it comes out of you hearing his voice calling you by name. And then you take the next step where he's opened the door. It could be a very little thing or it could be a very big thing. But that's the desire that's on his heart. That's the thing that he wishes to see you walk in all the time. Now, I think that there are in our culture some pressures. And those pressures are that you discover something true about yourself and then you run with that. And I think what differentiates us, I'm in a little trouble saying that. Probably sounded funny. I'm not, you know, I haven't been in Virginia all that long, so I'm what differentiates us from the rest of the culture is that the culture will kind of pressure us to discover what's true about us. And Jesus will lead us to see who we are. The culture will kind of pressure us to say, well, you can fit in here because you can sing on pitch. You can fit in here because you can read code for this operating system. You can fit in here because of whatever it may be, your resume. And Jesus will say, that's true about you, but here's the truest thing about you. You are my child, and in you I am well pleased. From the beginning. Before any of those other attributes that you have came about, you are my child, and I'm always well pleased in you. That's where we keep rolling along, you might say, in that identity, in the depth of that truth. Now, that doesn't mean you don't do the other things that are true about you, because that'll be very helpful, extremely helpful. It's just on who you are. And you know when you put it down. when you don't have the stamina to do it anymore, when something shifts with you and that's no longer as true about you as it was before, what is still true about you is this. You are still God's child, and he still loves you more than you know, and is still well pleased with you, no matter what. No matter what. And no one can separate you from that. Everything that we desire, everything that we plan, everything that for our personal lives as well as our life together in St. Francis want to see happen, all starts with identity. The voice of Jesus calling you and I by name. All of it starts with him creating it by the sound of his voice. All of it flows from that. The worship that we give him today comes from, flows from him calling us by name. The love that we have for God flows out of us because he first loved us. And in that love, as Richard insightfully pointed out at the beginning here, out of that love comes our name, the calling of our name. Everything, absolutely everything, comes from that. The ups and the downs and how we respond to them flows from him calling us by name. Anything you can think of starts with our identity. To start at any other point, any other true thing, that's not the truest thing, but to start at any other true thing is to be tempted after an idol. It is to get into the place where we don't hear his voice as well, and we don't see where his footsteps are leading. And we kind of step out of that hedge that he wants to keep around us. It's all right, I think, if you say, hey, I'm just a guy, or I'm just a girl, or I'm just whoever who is loved by God as your primary self-image. And for everything else, you and I are stewards of those gifts. Now, we'll begin to see that as we look at how to encourage each other and build one another up and equip each other for the ministry in our daily life. All of that's going to start from him calling us by name and you hearing it and you hearing the echo of it in each other. All of it will come by that. So we're going to leave these posters up a few more weeks, and then we'll take them down. We'll save them, though, because then they'll be we'll bring them out again. Because it's out of this, it's the filter through which you begin seeing and hearing the voice of Jesus calling you by name. Now, here's the challenge for us this morning. I don't like the word challenge. I just can't think of a better one. Maybe later. But here's the challenge for us this morning. Exactly how is Jesus calling you by name this morning? How do you hear it? Where does your heart and soul and mind and strength move or shift to or turn towards this morning? Where's that sound? Even if it sounds like wind right now, that has on it your name. And you know it's your name. And how does he want you to receive that at this point? Those are the challenges. That's the starting place. That's the beginning of the river of God that flows from this table into this community, bringing his life through you and me. Let's just take a moment of silence before him. If you would please stand for that. And let's ask him to speak very clearly into us. Lord Jesus, that even at this moment we would hear you call us by name. If you would just take what he's giving you right now and tell him that you'll follow him wherever that leads. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this. And we ask that you would open the eyes and the ears of our hearts every day so that we might more clearly and powerfully hear the sound of your voice. For the glory of your name. Amen.